Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our Easter lectionary this year has a unique twist. If you were in chapel on Friday, you know that it was the feast day of St. Philip. And if you were in church yesterday, you know that the first reading for the fifth Sunday of Easter described the reading you just heard of Philip's encounter with the Ethiopian eunuch. The problem is, of course, that these two Philips are not the same. The first is the Apostle Philip, disciple of Jesus, while the second Philip that we just heard about is Deacon Philip, also known as the Evangelist. Well, I'm thrilled to be back on the campus of my alma mater. I'm a member of the class of 1992. We were affectionately known by the faculty back then as the dumbest class to graduate from the seminary in 150 years. Now, I'm not sure some class after us has taken that privilege away from us or not, but I feel somewhat justified that several of my classmates are now professors here. I won't tell you who they are. Philip was a classmate of St. Stephen. They were both of that first class of seven deacons appointed to do ministry to widows and orphans in Jerusalem. But Philip would not be doing that outreach ministry as a deacon very long. After St. Stephen's martyrdom, there's persecution in Jerusalem, and Philip flees to the area of Samaria, where God now has a new calling for him. He enters into word and sacrament ministry, and he has a thriving ministry among the Samaritans. And that's why our text for this morning is so surprising. If you're following along in Acts chapter 8, we pick it up in verse 26, and it begins this way. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Rise and go toward the south, to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place." God's direction for Philip's life made no sense. Things were going great in Samaria. He had a thriving ministry. And now the Lord is telling him to go on this barren road to nowhere. It doesn't sound like that's a great call for someone who is known as an evangelist. Not a great place to do ministry. But what's wonderful is what happens in the very next verse, Philip's response. It says simply, "And Philip rose and went." Philip does not open up his mouth to complain. He doesn't go back to God and question him and his direction for his life. Perhaps it was from experience. He knew that God had watched over him in the persecution in Jerusalem, that he had planted him in Samaria and allowed him to prosper there, perhaps from experience and knowing that the Lord is good, he did not open his mouth to question him. I wish I were a bit more like Deacon Philip. How often do we complain to God when our lives aren't going according to our plans? We have the propensity of protesting all too much, don't we, when something happens in our lives and we find ourselves on an unexpected road. Perhaps it is a family issue or a physical issue or a financial issue. Whatever road you find yourself on unexpectedly, so often our initial reaction is to go to God and to complain to him. Instead of trusting the Lord on this new road that we must travel, we are quick to open our mouths in protest. And because of our old sinful nature, not only this, but we also grumble to the Lord when we find ourselves in a desert place of our own making, when we've rebelled against God and taken a different path than he's asked us to go on. And when we finally realize that this is a dead-end path, our initial instinct is not contrition, it's complaining. Oh, that we would know when not to open our mouths to complain to the Lord and to trust him instead. After all, that's exactly what Jesus has done for us. This Ethiopian eunuch, he's reading from Isaiah, the 53rd chapter, and in Acts 8:32, it describes what verse he was looking at, and it says this of Jesus, "Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, And like a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opens not his mouth. Christ had every right to open his mouth in protest. After all, his crucifixion was because of our sin and not his own. And yet the Father comes and says to his beloved Son, I want you to get up and go on the road from Jerusalem down to Golgotha. This is a deadly place. And to our wonderful surprise, Jesus rises up and goes for us. Like the Ethiopian eunuch, we receive this word, this gospel word of grace, with great encouragement, and we're quick to grab on to our baptism as we hear of what Christ has done for us. In that same chapter, Isaiah 53, we're told, but Christ was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. But by his wounds, we are healed. Hear God's word of grace to you this morning. We who are so bound up in diligently preparing the word for others, sometimes it is we who are most starving for that gospel word to be spoken to us. Hear that word of grace to you this morning. Because of Jesus, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, you have been made right with God, and you are his dearly loved daughter, his dearly loved son. And long before he ever called you to study and prepare to go into the ministry, he called you as his own child through baptism. Oh, like the Ethiopian eunuch, receive that word of grace with great encouragement and gladness of heart. So we learn when not to open our mouths. Because of this great gospel, we need not to bargain with God or make him any promises. We receive his grace, which is all sufficient for us. In my congregation in Riverside, California, we have several licensed deacons who assist me in word and sacrament ministry. I know that the topic of deacons is somewhat controversial in our synod today, but what surprises me about Philip in the book of Acts, Deacon Philip in the book of Acts, is that he is the only one in the entire New Testament who's directly given the title of evangelist. Not the four gospel writers, not even Philip the apostle, Deacon Philip, who began his ministry doing outreach to widows and orphans in Jerusalem. You see, Philip had so inwardly digested that gospel of grace for himself that when the opportunity presented itself for him to speak that word to another, he was chomping at the bit to open his mouth. Look again at our text in verse 35. It says, then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. What I love about this moment is that God had orchestrated everything for this to happen. Philip, you go down, doesn't make any sense, on the road to nowhere, to a barren place. And as he goes, there just happens to be a wealthy Ethiopian eunuch who has enough money to have a copy of the Septuagint for himself and just happens to be reading Isaiah chapter 53. And when Philip sees this opportunity, Philip, whose name means the lover of horses, he gallops up to that chariot to enter into holy conversation with this man. In Philip's life, we see what it looks like to follow the words of St. Peter in his first epistle. In your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason that a hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect. As God's grace worked powerfully in the life of Philip, so it works powerfully in our lives as well. I'd like to suggest to you two takeaways from our text from this morning. And the first is this: be open to Spirit-orchestrated moments in your life today. I want to say that again because it's really important. Be open to Spirit-orchestrated moments in your life today. this very day you will have the opportunity to minister to another person with the gospel of grace. Perhaps it's a colleague or a fellow student, a sibling or a spouse. Perhaps you'll be running some errands today and you just might bump into someone who has spiritual questions. Be open to spirit-orchestrated moments in your life today. And when you are, number two, open your mouth to tell the good news of Jesus. For those who are lost on a road going to nowhere, they need to know He who is the way, the truth, and the life. And it is we who can share them that good news in a way that they can understand, so that they might understand and receive that gospel of grace as well. Well, it is said that the Queen of Sheba, after visiting Solomon, brought the Hebrew faith back to the Ethiopians. And it might be said that this eunuch, whose name we don't even know, after his encounter with Philip, brought the Christian faith back to the Ethiopians. God only knows what fruit He will bear in your life as you open your mouth to share that good news of Christ. In the name of Jesus, amen.